Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It is I, your host, Elder Willie J. Van Jr., we are so appreciative that you have decided to join us here for another wonderful Wednesday night, and we thank God for each and every one of you all. As always, we are so appreciative that God has blessed us, and you got to know and understand that you are blessed. You are blessed, despite the fact that whatever you've gone through, even in tough negotiations today, as my brother Ray Ross was just telling me, even in tough negotiations, you are still blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing, and it is so great to know that we have a purpose and that God has given us a vision and also given us the victory. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you all. We thank you for joining us at Reconciliation Ministries in partnership with the Omega Ministry Group. We praise God for the leaders of Omega Ministry Group, the good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife, Sister Minister Tammy Storr. We thank God for the both of them and how God is using them to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Well, without further ado, we want to share and know that we are nothing without prayer. Prayer is our connection to God. Prayer is what keeps us going. Prayer is one of our strongest weapons that we have. And I don't know about you, but it is so good to know that we have a Father that we can talk to. So without further ado, why don't you touch and agree with me in the spirit as we pray. Lord God, we first of all just want to say thank you. We have an attitude of gratitude that you have watched over us, you have blessed us, you have kept us. If it had not been for you who was on our side, we don't know where we would be. Lord God, we are so grateful that you have decided to allow us, your children, your daughters and your sons, to be able to come to this moment in time. We thank you, Lord God, for how you watched over us and how you kept us, even beyond what we could have done ourselves. We know that we are only here because of the grace and mercy that you have provided. Lord God, though we might be tired in the body, in our spirit, we stand strong. So for that, Lord God, we just say thank you. We praise your name, Lord God. We thank you, and we ask that you will continue to bless us this evening as we study your word, as we get to know more about you and how you watched over us and how you blessed us and how you kept us for your glory and for your service. Lord God, we pray that you will continue to use me. Lord God, I understand that I am no more than a conduit, that you are the authority and the power. I pray, Lord God, and I know that your word would not go out void, that it will come back bountifully with many more blessings. We pray, Lord God, we give you honor, we give you praise again for everything that you do and for everything that you allow us to do and say. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, again, we are so grateful for you joining us here at Reconciliation Ministries. We thank God, and we pray that, as always, this is about participatory and about you participating. We want you, all mics are muted, so you don't have to worry about trying to be quiet or anything. Only I have the right to unmute your mic or have the authority to unmute your mic. But if you press 1 on your phone, then I can see that you have a comment or a question, and I will definitely address it. For those who might be listening into the rebroadcast of this, you can participate also. You can send a question or a comment to me by email, and you can send it to JVan at 91 That's J-A-Y, V is in victory, A-N-N, 91, at yahoo.com. Again, jvan at yahoo.com, and I will definitely respond to your email. Well, my brothers and sisters, again, we are so thankful. We want to raise up for you this question, or actually this comment. Our subject matter tonight is even you. This is our subject for tonight. We want you to realize that we are blessed of God, and God has given us this word to share. And before I can share, it's got to be meaningful to me. So we read, as our subject said, it's even you. I want to read to you this story. There is a often heard story that the London Times posed a question to readers at the turn of the 20th century. What's wrong with the world? That's quite the question, isn't it? Someone might quickly respond, well, how much time do you have for me to tell you? And that would be fair, as there seems to be so much that's wrong with our world today. As the story goes, the Times received a number of responses, but one in particular has endured in its brief brilliance. The English writer, poet, and G.K. Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton penned this four-word response, a refreshing reprise to the usual passing of the buck. So his response was, "Dear sirs, I am." Dear sirs, I am. Whether the story is fictional or not is up for debate. But that response, that's nothing but true. Long before Chesterton came along, there was an apostle named Paul, far from lifelong modern citizen. Paul confessed his past shortcomings. "I was once a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent man." After naming who Jesus came to call sinners, he goes on to make a very Chesterton-like qualification, "of whom I am the worst." Paul knew exactly what was and is wrong with the world, and he further knew the only hope for making things right is the grace of our Lord. So we want to read into your hearing our scripture reference, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 12. I'm going to read the NIV translation, and then I will read the New Century translation. The grace to Paul. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So we read unto your hearing verses 1 through 16. That is the NIV translation. As always, I like to read the New Century version. It's a different translation, but yet very powerful in its meaning. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 12 through 16, and this is the New Century version. Christ Jesus, our Lord, who gave me strength, because he trusted me and gave me this work of serving him. In the past, I spoke against Christ and persecuted him and did all kinds of things to hurt him. But God showed mercy because I did not know what I was doing. I did not believe, but the grace of our Lord was fully given to me. And with that grace came the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. What I say is true, and you should fully accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I was given mercy, so that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus would show that he has patience without limit. His patience with me made me an example for those who would believe in him and have life forever. Again, I have read unto your hearing 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. We praise God for his already blessed word. So here we see, we read this story of the London Times, of how they shared in the question of what's wrong with the world, what's going on with the world, and this poet G.K. Chesterton said, "Dear sirs, I am." Now, I can only imagine that when all of the responses that came back to try to answer this question, what's wrong with the world, that all of the questions or all of the responses were based upon passing the buck or saying, well, it's because of the politicians, it's because of this, it's because of the video games, it's because of the music, it's because of the sign of the times. And none of them took ownership in understanding that the world is in turmoil because we are in turmoil. Now, I say this, and even with today's society, we are facing these elections, and we are facing just these times where you don't know. They're always predicting the economy crashing, and we understand that there was several years ago when the booming housing market, balloon burst, and then they had all these people who were upside down on their mortgages, and people were being put out of their houses. And then you had where people were losing their jobs, and even just several years ago where the government was furloughed. It is the first time the entire government had been furloughed for over a two-week period. And with all of the turmoil, with all of the issues, with all of the things that are going on in the world, still yet always ready to blame something or someone else. instead of taking ownership and doing like Michael Jackson say, look at the man in the mirror. I think that when we look at the person, and when I say man, please, sisters, don't beat me up. I'm not me trying to be gender, but I'm really mean man as far as mankind. But I think whenever we look at what's wrong with society, the first thing we have to look at is ourselves. We have to look at what are we doing? What are we doing to contribute or to tear down? Now, if you was with us last week, we talked about being able to speak life or death. The Bible says that there is power of life and death in the tongue. And it is our understanding and it is our responsibility that we must always speak life, that we must always speak a word of positivity, that we have to be very careful and cautious about what we say and who we say it about. Even when we are declaring health, we ought to never say, I have this, I got that, I got this disease, or I got high blood pressure, I got heart disease. No, those are attacks on our bodies, because our bodies belong to God. And because of that, then God and these diseases cannot dwell in the same, but it is an attack from Satan. And we even talked about 2 weeks ago that there is no attack or there is no account in the entire Bible where God allows Satan to attack someone and kill them. Now, yes, he might have allowed them to feel some fiery furnaces, go through some fiery furnaces to receive some boils or to go through trials and tribulations, but there is never an account of one where God allows Satan to actually kill them. And that we ought to take happiness, we ought to take a foundation and know that we too, because of our relationship to God, that he is not going to allow us to be killed by Satan. So that takes us to, again, tonight. We ought to know that because of the relationship that we have, and let me just say that this relationship is based upon what God has allowed Christ to do for us. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Though it is free, it is very costly. The wonderful thing is, we don't have to pay the cost. It's already been paid for. Now, we read in this 1 Timothy where Paul is talking about his own life. Paul is giving thanks to God for the mercy that he has experienced in his life. And the fact that because of his past, it's not really rightfully, he doesn't even feel deserving of the love and the grace and the mercy that God has given to him. But he understands that despite what he has done, God has loved him. God has shown him mercy. And it wasn't just because Paul was some special guy. It wasn't because Paul was a Jew. It wasn't because he was a Roman citizen. It wasn't because of anything specifically that he had done. I mean, there are accounts in the Bible where Paul is there and he is stoning Christians. He is killing Christians. When you go back and read the account of Stephen, the first what we call deacon, or that Stephen, even at that account, that Stephen is allowed to be the first martyr, yeah. And even then, it wasn't that Satan killed him, but he had freely given up his life. When we look at all that we've gone through, when we look at our past, and it's mighty funny because when we look at all the years that we didn't even know God, and or we knew God, but we didn't have a relationship, because a lot of us, we can be honest, we might have had the religion, but we really didn't have a relationship. And now, because we have this relationship, we act different, we walk different, we conduct ourselves different, we speak differently today than we've ever done before. But we look back over our lives, and just as Paul is saying here, I don't deserve this. I spoke against Christ. I did all kinds of things to hurt him. But God has shown me mercy. And because I really didn't know what I was doing, I thought I was doing the right thing. But God has shown me grace. And this faith, this grace, this mercy, but most of all, this love, has allowed me to come to this day claim that if it had not been for God who was on our side, we don't know where we would be. Now, the wonderful thing about this is we can all make this proclamation. We can all come to this place in our lives and say, we didn't deserve this. There's no way that we should still be alive. But God has something greater for me. God has something greater for all of us. And it is the responsibility for us now to be able to say yes. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. As always, we ask that you go get some water, that you don't go too far. Go get some water. I know it was a warm day here in D.C., a beautiful day. But think about it. What are you willing to say to God? We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Not my own. I'm trust in you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
My life.
Yes, Lord.
Are you willing to say yes to God tonight? Are you ready to recommit? Or even are you willing to go and say to God, I'm here. I've been here. I've had some struggles. But yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes. Paul is saying, or Paul is looking here at this scripture. Again, we are so grateful and so thankful for the scripture reference. We are at 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 12 through 16. And Paul is giving reference to his life and giving reference to the fact that he understands that there's nothing special about him, that he's done nothing deserving of being saved. But because God had a purpose for his life, on a Damascus road, he had an experience with God, with Jesus. And though it is the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, Paul has this mind change, this heart change, this change to say, okay, I'm going to say yes. And maybe at first he thought, okay, yeah, I'm all this and I'm all that. Because you got to remember, before he had this Damascus experience, Paul was a very wise and intelligent student. And that was the reason why he, one of the reasons why, because he was dealing with this intellect, this mindset. But then he has this experience. And I don't know what your experience was. Mine wasn't necessarily a Damascus Road experience. Mine was just, I'm tired. And there's got to be a better way. So Jesus then speaks to Paul. And if you ever spent any time in church, you've heard this story, you know this story. But Paul says here in verse 17, let's go back up to 13. In the past, I have spoken against Christ and persecuted him and did all kinds of things to hurt him. But God showed me mercy because I did not know what I was doing. I did not believe. And we know that what we talked about last week, in order to trust him, you got to first believe. The first step is believing, and then the next step is trusting or going or working. The songwriter says trust and obey, not you got to obey and trust him, but it says you got to trust, you got to believe, and then out of that trust, and out of that belief, you will be obedient to his will and to his ways. So he says here, but the grace of our Lord was given fully to me. With the grace came, with that grace came the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. What I say is true, and you should fully accept this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, but I was given mercy so that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus, could show that he has patience without limit. His patience with me made an example for those who believe in him and have life forever. So Paul is saying to us as believers, and then to first to his son, or his son in the ministry, Timothy, and then to us as believers, that, you know, I realize that the only reason why God did this so that nobody else can have an excuse. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That even when God was saving Paul, thinking about you and I mean, just think about it. Some, you know, thousands of years ago, when he delivered Paul, he had you and myself in mind. He was saying, yeah, I'm not just doing this for Paul, but I'm doing this for Jay. I'm doing this so that Jay, there can be no excuse why Jay can't follow me. There's no excuse why Jay can't believe in me. Jay can't come up with not one excuse that will allow him to say, okay, I just can't do it. In the 8th chapter of Romans, and, you know, y'all hear me say this frequently. In Romans, the 8th chapter, let me see. 30, we can start at 35. No, let's start at 34. Who can say God's people are guilty? No one, because Christ died, but he was also risen from the dead. Now he is on God's right hand, right side, appealing to God for us. Can anything separate us from the love of God, of Christ has for us? Can troubles? Let me read the NIV. I'm sorry, I was reading the New Century Version. Here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. 37, Romans 8:37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creations will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when Christ was speaking to Paul on the Damascus Road, and he delivered Paul. He was not just delivering Paul, but he was delivering us. And so it is for us. We take ownership in knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you cursed out. I don't care who you slept with. I don't care how much liquor or wine or how much drugs you've done. I don't care how much lying, how much killing you've done. See, it's funny that on that Damascus Road, before he got there, God spoke to Ananias and said, I'm going to save Paul, and I need you to sit with him and teach him. And Ananias said, nah, who you talking about? Not Paul the killer. Not Paul the one that's been persecuting you and your people. Surely you can't be talking about that Paul, the one that they call Saul. No, you can't be talking about that one. And God said, yes, that's the one. And so we have to believe and we have to know that if God delivered Paul, and then he in turn delivered us, then it is our responsibility to share with others that God can deliver them also. See, it's a domino effect. I'm about to date myself. There was a commercial that had a Calgon, and the lady would say, you know, I use Calgon, and something else, and then he was like, and so on, and every time they said so on, they would show more of the lady, or they would show more pictures of the lady, and then before you know it, where it first started off as one picture, it ended up being 100 pictures. By the end of the commercial, I think it is Calgon. If I'm not, it's an old commercial, but it's the same premise. God delivered Paul. God allowed Christ to die for our sins and to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Then Jesus spoke, and as he was saving Paul, he was also thinking about us. Because now, as he saves us, we don't have an excuse. And so as he saves us now, then we in turn can ask God to save somebody else, or we can introduce that person to Christ. And we can tell them that just like God did it for me, he can do it for you. Now, so many times, people will come up with an excuse. Oh, I'm gonna come to church when I get right. Oh, I'm gonna join the church when I stop sinning. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna come, you know, when I get all this out of me. Well, see, now since we ain't going to the church house, we ain't going to the building, and with every cell phone, computer, laptop, or tablet, you can go and hear a word from God, or you can hear the word of God being preached. There's no excuse. Oh, I can't get there because I don't have no car. You don't need to have no car. And now with most of our phones, you don't even need the internet, because most of the phones already have internet. So you just have to go to your web browser, which most of us have some sort of social media. You just go to your social media and you can hear the word of God being preached. So my question to you is, what's wrong with the world? Is it you? Is it me? Is it that we first got to start with ourselves, and then we can share with others that, yeah, I too used to do those things and these things, but God has delivered me. And because God has delivered me, he has sent me to tell you that he can deliver you also. And then we'll be able to make a change in the world. I'm going to make this declaration now. You can agree with me if you don't want to. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care who's on the Supreme Court. I don't really care who's my mayor, my council person, because I do know that they all answer to God. And that is the person who I serve. And I know that as long as I serve him, as long as I worship him, as long as I continue to give him my life, because what he has done, he also gives me power. He also gives me authority. He also gives me life. He also gives me joy and happiness. So I'm not affected. I'm indirectly affected, but I'm not really directly affected by who's in what position, because I know ultimately my father's in the ultimate position, and that because I am his son, I'm in the best position I could ever be. So my question to you, what's your excuse? Because I think we've already dispelled. There's no excuse that can stop you from serving God. There's no excuse that can stop you from being his spokesperson. And again, it's not about going out proclaiming, making a proclamation, preaching with no microphone on a corner. The best preaching is done by how you live. Will you live for God? Will you live like you are a son or a daughter of the most powerful king ever? Or will you live in fear? Will you live in faith or will you live in fear? The choice is yours. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this time that we've shared with you. We are so always appreciative for what you've done and how you blessed us. Lord God, we understand that there is nothing that can take away or stop us from receiving what you have for us. We are so appreciative that you have allowed your son to die and then to rise again, that we are going to do great things because of the anointing and the power that he has given us. Allow us to be able to share this story with a man, woman, boy, or girl. The next time when they say, you know what, I would do better or I could do better, may we share with them a word, a life, and say, you can do better. But the problem is you tapping into your own power. Won't you give up and let's do it God's way? So I shared, thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in all of our lives. Lord God, we give you honor. We give you praise. In the name of your son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, as always, we have a couple minutes. We want to share and open up mics. Are there any questions, any comments? We thank God again for all those who are listening live to the broadcast, all those who you can always tune in to the rebroadcast. You can call this number and they will give you directions on how to do that. But if you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 on your phone and I'll be able to see that you have a question or comment. Again, I was tell you that there are some mighty powerful women and men of God who share several days a week. You can call this same phone number every Monday night to hear the Marriage Ministry or Oneness Ministry of our own Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife, Minister Tammy Storr. We thank God for them from 8 to 9 o'clock. And then from 9 to 10, Minister Leah Killings, always a mighty woman of God who shares a word. Then it's yours truly every Wednesday night from 8:30 to 9:30. And then from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we have Bishop George Flint. And then I was just told that Minister Collins, Amos Collins, Joseph Amos Collins, has changed his time to every Saturday from 5 to 6. So we thank God for all these mighty men and women of God. We are so appreciative for what they have done and how they are using, how they are allowing God to use them. Okay, so since there are no questions or comments, as always, we praise God and we thank God for each and every one of you all. As always, peace and love, Reverend Willie J. Van Jr., or Elder Willie J. Van Jr., or Pastor Willie J. Van Jr. I don't care. Just call me Jay. But we'll see you. As always, peace and love.
Young people, going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on.
We're going to have a brighter day, y'all. But it's up.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You got to get, come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it. want to hit some horns.
That you